Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. I'm Jay Cunet, your host, along with Jillian Carlson and Matt Summer. We are all age group triathletes, parents, and full-time working professionals. Our mission of this podcast is to bring a new guest on each week to discuss their triathlon journey and hope that inspires you to your finish line goal. This is podcast number 3, and we continue to be blown away by the messages of support and the number of downloads each week. Thank you so much for listening. There's so many dimensions to our guest this week, Kay Grant. Her faith, her life story, her triathlon journey, and her training for her first Ironman will no doubt inspire anyone. We will also talk about our plans for the off-winter season and recap upcoming races happening here in the United States.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going great.
Matt, how about you?
Just another trainer session this morning. Found my way back to the pain cave. I prefer to call it the laboratory. It's where all the hard work gets done. North Carolina weather was a little chilly this morning, so I found myself on the bike indoor, as much as it's not my favorite thing to do. We got on there. It was good. Hour and a half session. Nice. How about you?
I did get back into training this last week, all indoor and on Zwift, because I've got to get those Zwift Academy try sessions in. So I think you're supposed to do them over 4 weeks, and there's nothing like, you know, cramming for a test. And yeah, why not cram all of the Zwift Academy try workouts into, you know, the last week and a half before the due date of the 20th next weekend. So wanted to get out and actually run outside for my off the bike run today, but got to get used to that treadmill if I'm going to be able to do a test on it later. The treadmill running is a little bit new for me. I've bared the weather and didn't matter if it was cold, rainy, windy, when only did a few treadmill sessions last year when the smoke was too bad or if it was snowing outside, but that was pretty far and few between. So trying to get accustomed to this treadmill life, which Matt, I know you rave about, and I'm getting there.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I can log some hours on the treadmill. I think the biggest trouble I've had so far is daylight. I mean, ever since daylight savings last weekend, I've had a heck of a time finding the time to get outside to train, to get in so much darker earlier. And it's already dark at 0:30 when I wake up at 4 a.m. that I have to gravitate inside just from a safety perspective. I don't know. I guess we're pretty fortunate technology's come along the way it is and we can get the quality and the purposeful training indoor. It definitely takes away from being outside with the guys and getting out there on a Saturday and just logging some miles and, you know, getting that coffee afterwards and or a beer, depending on what time of day we ride. You know, you got to get used to that indoor training again.
Yeah, my dad will be thrilled to know I'm not running outside in the dark. So gotta keep him and my mom happy.
Doesn't each the bike and the run conclude with a time trial race?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit different. The finish line ride and the finish line run. So I think the ride is actually a little bit unique. There's almost like a Z3 set lead up right into a 5-minute all out power test. So as opposed to a 20-minute power test, it's a 5-minute all out at the end. And that's what counts. And then on the run, it's a 30-minute run test, which I haven't had to do a 30-minute run test ever. So that'll be, and on a treadmill, this will be extra interesting. And
that really pushes the limit of like a 5K too. I mean, it's wow.
Yeah.
For most people. Yeah. So.
Okay.
So, anyhow, exciting, something new, something different. The sessions run a little bit different. I'll say, you know, to anybody that's interested in just giving something different a try, I thought that the Zwift Academy sessions are kind of fun. Some of the recovery is much lower watts than I'm used to doing. So kind of cranked up the music and just felt like I was back in spin class and rocking out while I was hitting those recovery high cadence spins. So it just added a little bit of fun, which you need, especially after a busy race season and before you start doing all the hard work. So I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun actually, and looking forward to the next few sessions. They get tough, but it's kind of nice to mix the sweet and sour.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Cool. Jay, you are you you're on a 2-week don't do anything, right?
It's finally coming to an end. I've polished off half the kids' Halloween candy by now, which is just I have no self-control, guys. It is terrible.
Now, what's left? That's what I want to know. What is your least favorite? There's got to be some.
All the bad candy.
Yeah, but what's bad candy, Jay?
Kit Kat. Definitely Reese's. Definitely Starburst.
Okay.
And the Hershey's chocolate. I just pound it all. Every time I walk by, I grab another one. It's awful. There's more wrappers in the trash for me than the kids.
With a 17-year-old, I don't have that problem because as soon as it comes in the house, it's gone. And if I even reach for it, he's like, uh-uh, mine, get off. So,
put him in the car. Bring him up here, please.
Well, my daughter did come in and asked me, hey, Mom, would you like some Starburst? And I was like, yeah, thanks for asking. They never ask if I want any of their Halloween candy. She comes in with two full handfuls of yellow and orange. And I was like, did I do something to make you mad?
Oh, that's funny.
Like, where's the pink and red?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I think you can buy bags of just pink and red now, too.
Oh, that's great. That'd be great.
I think you can. Yeah.
Well, it's laughable. I'm coming to the end. I'm excited to start back Monday. But every single gadget that I own tells me I'm not recovered. My recovery score is like in the 60s. My sleep is like less than what it was in the peak of Ironman training. And so, you know what? I'm ready to throw them all away. I don't think they're worth what we pay for them in terms of trying to keep track of what you really are. So
I agree.
Keep that in mind, folks. Do not let it stress you out if your Oura Ring says you should rest. Don't do it. Listen to your body first, no doubt.
The words unproductive, yeah. Garmin and unproductive, I can't stand it. You see it after great training sessions. You're like, are you?
What about detraining?
Yeah.
I just had my best, most consistent and hit all my threshold intervals on a swim only to see my watch tell me I'm detraining. I was like, that's not even fair.
No.
I will have to admit, though, when I see it tell me I'm peaking, I do get very excited.
I listen to it when it says productive and peaking. Anything else, I disregard.
All right. So we're at quote of the week. Before you do it, I think it's probably good for us to say to everyone, we are all surprised. Matt brings this. We do not script this whatsoever. So every answer that comes out, including Kay's, Jillian and I, we have never heard it before.
One of the biggest things I always talk about with my athletes is your perception. And the quote of the week is attitude, the difference between obstacles and opportunities. Anytime we're faced with adversity, anytime we're faced with a problem, you have one of two ways you can go. And you can either look at it as an obstacle and make excuses and just kind of fold down, you know, fold your hand and just say, not going to happen, can't do it. Or you can look at it as an opportunity to level up, find that third gear, as I like to use that word, make it happen. What do you guys think about that?
Kay, you want to kick us off?
My little running girls, I have a running girls group, so we might talk about that later, but a bunch of little non-runners in my neighborhood who I'm trying to get excited about the idea of running. And they say, we don't say can't. We say can't yet.
That's love great. It.
Love that.
Yep.
So they put the opportunity that it's a can't yet.
At a young age, that's a great thing to instill in them.
Yeah, I like to use the yet in a lot of things. I didn't nail this run yet. I haven't nailed this bike yet. I think that if you start to get into a negative headspace, just trail it with yet. And it turns it from something negative to something positive and a goal that you didn't even maybe think you had. Yeah. I love that one.
I think when I find dark moments, I try to remember gratitude that we even have the ability to do this and train the hours we train. And definitely during racing, I've figured out that thanking every police officer and every volunteer and picking up an athlete who looks like they're hurting and say something positive is this secret little endorphin burst that you get every time. And it's, you know, you have to consciously make that decision. So the attitude matters, but every time you express gratitude, you get that little pop of adrenaline.
It's funny you say that, Jay, because one of the strategies I use with a lot of my athletes when they're training for long course is, you know, you're going to hit that dark place between, a lot of people do, where the mind starts drifting, the mental and the physical. I talked about that last week, from like mile 65 to about 95. It's a little bit longer than the half distance. It's where kind of that dark area starts to go. And I say, you got to be able to pull yourself out of that, and giving a word of gratitude, whether to it's a, you know, another person going by saying, hey, you look great. Elevating them elevates you. And I always tell them that, like, listen, find something positive to say to the volunteers, to another racer. You know, I just think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I actually used that in a race earlier this year, one of my first ones. And honestly, there was a little something, I guess it was somewhat selfish, but also, you know, you're wanting them to do well. Somebody goes by and you're passing and you're like, great job, looking strong. And you, those words come out of your mouth and you actually end up benefiting from it yourself, because then you start to tell that to yourself, even though you're telling it to someone else. At the end of that race, the gal actually had come up to me, which I didn't even, I'd said it to quite a few, you know, runners that I had passed. And one of the gals had come up to me and was like, thank you for the encouragement out there. I really needed it. And you just never know if somebody else is in a dark spot. And I think that's in racing and in life in general too. You never know what other people are going through if they're in that dark spot, and you can throw out that positiveness while you're in the middle of a race even. And it didn't break my focus. Actually, it kept me very much in the zone even. So yeah, I think that's a great one.
Well, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have this guest on the show tonight. This amazing woman, that's all I can say. I could go on and on with a ton of different adjectives to describe Kay Grant. I got the opportunity to first meet Kay probably over a year ago. I obviously coaching for Tri-Dot Triathlon. We have a Facebook page, I Am Tri-Dot. I put a lot of just helpful information out there, and Kay had a couple questions and I think I replied and we had a great conversation, and I was given the opportunity to coach her, and it's been nothing but rewarding on both ends. I've gotten to know Kay very well. I've gotten to help her along the way to age group nationals. I've helped her through a 70.3, I've helped her through several Olympic and sprint races. And honestly, I have the privilege now of helping her to the finish line and the red carpet of her first Ironman, Ironman California 2023. So Kay, welcome. We can't wait for you to share your story with us. We're honored to have you here. And, you know, I just hope everybody gets to understand you, your story, and gets to love you as much as I do.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Kay. So why don't you start us off with a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind?
I don't mind. A lot about myself doesn't have anything to do with triathlon, but that's how it is. So, I grew up in northern Minnesota. And if you get me around Minnesotans, it comes back out again a little bit, you know. I'm from Minnesota. Yeah. I grew up at an age and stage when there were no girl sports. The only girl sport was baton twirling, cheerleading, and ice skating. And the only one I could do was baton twirling. So there was nothing. A President's Award thing came out when I was a little girl, but I never did a sport. I never was on any team of any kind. I never had a bicycle. We grew up out in the country, and there were seven kids in my family. We had a bike, and it was for my brother to do his paper route, so it was too big for me. So, you know, I didn't grow up riding a bike. I certainly didn't grow up running. There were no swimming pools, so I just definitely was not an athlete at all. My family moved to Colorado when I was 12. I was one of those people that, I can just say, age is a funny thing. Now I'm an old lady. It's hard for me to grasp that. You know, it's like I don't feel that old, but I am.
If I can say real quick, Kay has a nickname on the team, and she referred to as the old bag. And I need to get that out there right now. But the first time I ever called her the old bag, people looked at me in total disbelief. Like, he is so rude. I can't believe he said that. And we had to go on and explain old bag meant badass grandma. And you're going to see why.
Yeah. Real quick too, Kay, because we know about how old you are. But what age group do you find yourself in for Ironman races?
In the 65 to 69.
Okay.
So, but when I was young, you know, I just wanted to be older. And you guys have teenage kids. That's what they want to do. And so in my case, I lied about my age when I was 13.
Wow.
To get a full-time job. So I said I was 16 and I was waiting tables and I worked 40 hours a week from the time I was 14 on. And, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so then when I was like 17, I figured out I could make a whole lot more money doing cocktails, but I needed to be 21. So I just started smoking and lied about my age. So it worked.
Wow.
And, so I became a cocktail waitress, and man, I'll tell you what, I'm a nurse now, but I made more money as a cocktail waitress than I ever made, even as an ICU nurse. So I lied about my age. And so I was serving cocktails, and then I met Brian, this cute 25-year-old with a beard. You know, I mean, gosh, you know, you're not going to tell everybody that you meet that you're lying about your age. You'll lose your job, you know. So, you know, one thing led to another, and we found out we were in love. And then what? What do I do? You know, it's like, do I tell you how old I am? I mean, you'd be a cradle robber. And besides, I'm illegal. And yeah, you know, so what do I do? But this was the dark ages, you know. So I literally took my birth certificate, the kind, you know, that has your little footprint stamped on it, and just erased the last number and took a calligraphy pen and put in the right number to make me 21. And then I took that. This was the dark age. So
maybe I need to cut this out, Kay. I don't know.
Do what you want. Cut it out. It's fine. You know, but
I don't want you to get arrested after this for forging a document.
Well, it's kind of, yeah.
Iron Man's going to be checking her age group now.
I think that now we're common law married, but, you know, I took that birth certificate to get a new license, a driver's license, because I had moved to Arizona to be with Brian. And, so I just go into the driver's license plate and said I had never had a license before from Colorado. And, you know, so I'm driving this four-wheel drive thing, and the guy's like, what? Never had a license? But I got a new license with the new birth date on it and used that to go get married. And it was a couple weeks before my 18th birthday. I actually wasn't legal, but we'd been together married 50 years. So I'm thinking by now it's all good. But yeah, he didn't know. I didn't know when to tell him. You know, when do you tell somebody? Because it's like, and so he kind of knew. He just kept waiting and waiting and praying and hoping that I'd finally feel the courage to tell him. And so after our second child was born, my mom told him.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so how many years were you all married with quotation marks before you did tell him?
What do you mean?
No. Of course you were married, but like, you know what I mean.
It was probably about 4.
Yeah, you've lived all over the country, it sounds like, and other countries. So tell us a little bit about where all you've lived and your experiences around the world.
Okay. So yeah, I grew up in Minnesota and then Colorado and then married. And then I was out on my own living and supporting myself and renting a home when I was 17. So I didn't feel the, you know, I didn't look like a 17-year-old. So when I met Brian, and I took up smoking to help, you know. But yeah, then we got married in Arizona, in Tucson, and then grad school in Seattle for Brian. And that's where I started University of Washington. Then Brian got his first engineering job in Boise. So we came to Boise and lived in Boise for 5.5 years, and then his company sent us to the Bay Area. So we lived in the Bay Area for a year, and then they sent us to Malaysia. And so we were in Malaysia for a short term, very, very short term, but it started a whole lot of international things going on in our lives at that time. Let's see, then we moved to Denver, and we were in Denver for 4 years. And at that time, we really felt that God was calling us to become missionaries. And so we started seminary at Denver Seminary. We were involved with a church that did a lot of international student outreach. We just kind of started doing the work to get us to that point. I was a trauma nurse at Denver General Hospital. See, then that all came together, and we went on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I quit nursing and Brian quit engineering. And we moved to Switzerland, where we had been invited by the Swiss equivalent of InterVarsity to come and work with them and teach them how to do international student ministry, college age. So we moved to Switzerland. Our kids were 7 and 9. And we lived in the German-speaking part of Switzerland. And we lived in Basel for 4 years and then Zurich for 3. And my kids had to learn Swiss, like, real fast, sink or swim. And for their college experience, they wanted to go to American universities. So we moved back to the United States when they were 17 and 15. But, you know, most of their formulative schooling years were in Switzerland. So we moved to Wisconsin, and we were there for 4 years, continued on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship there. And then a church in Boise called Brian and asked him to be their missions pastor. So we moved to Boise in 1996. And we've been here ever since. And now we're old and retired.
Just amazing how, you know, giving up two careers and just letting faith drive your path. It's just what a risky step, but just a way to listen to your heart and just trust your calling. So that's pretty cool. We've heard all about your journeys now, but where did you first start to swim, bike, run? How did that all come together and become such a big part of your life?
So I was working at a family practice clinic here in Boise for the last 20 years of my career before I retired. And one of the doctor's kids got lymphoma. And so the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society came to our office and asked us to put together a team. And wouldn't you love to do this? Everybody wants to run a marathon. And it's our biggest fundraiser. It's how we make money. And so, you know, the doctors are all like, oh, rah, this is so great. This is going to be so exciting. Well, Matt, you know me well enough by now that if people are going rah, I'm like, yes.
You're in. Yeah.
I'm in. And so I come home and I tell Brian that I'm going to do a marathon. And he's like, you are insane. Do you have any idea how long 26 miles is? It's like from here to the next town. You are insane. And, you know, your main sport is knitting. So this is just, but I'll do it with you. So we started training and we were very slow, very bad, very, very, very bad. And, our coach had a high-risk pregnancy, so we never met her. we were pretty much kind of the whole team. There were only 6 of us who ended up making it to the Portland Marathon, but we did it. And we finished the marathon. We went across the finish line. Brian was holding my hand, and yay, we did this. And then.
Do you remember your time?
Yeah, it was real bad. You know, it was like 5:20 or 5.5 hours. And then the next week, Brian decided he wanted to go out for a run, and he comes back and he goes, oh, wow, that's what it feels like to run. because obviously our paces are about 4 or 5 minutes per mile apart. And he had stayed with me every training, every run, but it was painful for him. And so he's fast and he got good and he went to Boston and he was all good. And I'm still fat and slow and waddly. And, you know, I just never got anywhere. So I was at the running store and I saw this little sign and it was like for novice people who wanted to try triathlon. And I was like, well, heck, I can't run. I don't own a bike. I don't know how to swim. Sounds like a good idea. So
sign me up.
I did. I signed up and,
what's that saying? If I can be bad at one sport, why not be bad at three?
Exactly. And I thought, you know, this might be good because Brian's out there really, you know, doing great racing and I can't do that with him. So, so I did it for about a year and a half, maybe a little bit more. And then, I mean, I'm trying to swim in the water and the coach is walking on the deck of the pool and going, you know, kind of pointing to me as the one you better watch out for, this girl. And, you know, I was absolutely last at everything. Last runner, last swimmer, last biker, at absolutely everything. But I loved it. So I kept doing it. And Brian saw that and about a year and a half later, after a meniscus surgery, and his doctor told him not to do marathons anymore, he joined me. And so we've been doing it together ever since. I think he joined me in about 2009, something like that. And he's good, and he qualifies for stuff, and I don't. But he's my biggest cheerleader.
That's awesome. I just think it's great that it's something you guys can do together over the years, and that as you both have gone into retirement, that you guys have really embraced even more and are so supportive of each other. One of my favorite pictures, I know you guys aren't gonna be able to see it, but I coached Kay for a race and her and Brian both finished first age group. And there's this great picture of them both standing up on the podium together on the number one. And it just speaks to my heart seeing that, because it was such a special moment. I know it was, but that's pretty cool. Now, Kay, I know there's this story, I think, that you had told me once about doing an Olympic early in your career in Oregon. I think you were the last swimmer out of the water. Do you want to share that story with us?
Well, it was a beautiful day. And I was not only the last swimmer out of the water, I was probably halfway through the swim when everybody was gone. So the kayaker, you know, is paddling along beside me and just kind of bored. You know, and it's these beautiful mountains. And so he just decides to start having a conversation with me, you know? And so I had earplugs in. And so I pull my head up and pull my earplug out. And he's like, I go, what? And he's like, isn't it a beautiful day? And I'm like, what is the matter with you? I am racing. Can't you see that I'm racing? I mean, so. Yeah, I put my earplugs back in and just kept swimming. But that's clearly what he thought of me.
Out of the three disciplines, which one have you found to be the most challenging for yourself? And which one do you find to be your greatest strength at this point, just over the years?
I'm bad at all of them. You know, people talk about how as you get older, you know, you're more of an endurance athlete. And so, no, it hurts. And then they talk about how when you do a sprint or an Olympic, you do that faster. It's like, no, I've still got the same slow pace at all of them. There's just, I'm not fast and I don't excel at being endurance. I just do it. I plug my way along and do it.
Do it because you love it.
I think the biggest thing I want people to understand right now is, if they haven't picked up on this yet, is the attitude that Kay possesses. And that goes straight back to my quote. I mean, her attitude from day one, anytime we talk about training, her attitude looks at things as opportunities. And that just speaks volumes to the quote I had. And, you know, knowing Kay was going to be here today kind of gave me the motivation to share that quote, because her attitude drives her every single day. She never looks at something as an obstacle. It's always an opportunity. And, you know, when we're doing our assessments, whether it's an FTP, a swim assessment, or a 5K, I can always get a laugh. And I always get a laugh out of her of, well, that sucked, or, well, that was amazing. But it's always such a positive spin on it. And she just keeps showing up, you know, and that's what I love about her.
Okay. So if 2009 was about the time you started triathlon, when did you start following a training program?
So I started before 2009. 2009 is when Brian joined me. So I did that first summer with this stud college kid who was putting on this middle-aged ladies group. And so it was a group thing. And then the next year, I did the Boise Half Ironman. The Half Ironman came to Boise. It lived here for 5 years, and then it moved on. I did it the first year, and I was part of a group. Like, we get together, and we did some group rides. But I'm always terrible at all the group stuff because I'm so far back. And then I feel terrible because I feel like I'm holding everybody back. And so my philosophy is, if I'm going to be alone, I might as well just really be alone, you know, rather than pretend I'm with a group. And so, but we had group meetings. So kind of a group training, like, here, go do this week, and we'll see you on Saturday. So I did that for about 9 months. And I did various levels of that kind of thing, some kind of groupy stuff. I signed up for Training Peaks and actually got our local triathlon store and hired a private coach for that. But he used Training Peaks. So that's pretty much my experience until I started with the preseason training with TriDot. Literally 5 years ago, about right now, November 2017, it came across my feed on Facebook that they had this preseason project, and I was like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing you ask for is a credit card. Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. And so I tried it anyway, and within a week, I saw what a huge difference. I mean, I had never done anything where you trained every day. After about a week, Brian said, that's a really different kind of training. I think I'll sign up for it too. And we've never turned back.
So you're in the 65 to 69 age group.
Yeah, and Brian's in the 75 to 79.
Wow. Okay. So since, and I don't mean to make this a plug for TriDot, I'm trying to make it more from a systematic training perspective of, you know, high intensity and learning, you know, strong before long, that kind of
right.
Probably training you may not have been doing prior to that. Have you found yourself getting faster with that philosophy? You say you're slow at everything, but do you see any improvement overall?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, saying yes, I hope anyone on that would listen to this would realize that you can improve. Anyone that may be listening, yeah, thinking they can't improve,
yeah,
with the right coaching,
yes,
with the right attitude, the right approach, you can improve. And that's the inspiration for all this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I am definitely faster at all three. I mean, with swimming, it didn't take much to get faster because I had no idea how to swim. But, you know, and with biking, I had to buy a bike. I had no idea how to get a bike. And so I just went to this bike swap and bought a used bike. And I had no idea about fit or anything. But, and then this stud college kid said I had to have clips. And I'm like, so I got these clips and I just fell over all the time. Every time I stopped, every stop sign, I'd ride my bike, you know, back and forth to work. And so I'd be on roads, you know, and a stoplight and traffic, and I'd fall over and there's blood running down my leg. And it happened all the time. And, you know, so yeah, I've gotten a new bike. When I retired, my boss bought me a triathlon bike for my retirement gift.
Aww.
So yeah, that was really, really amazing. And he said, you know, you've been my nurse for 20 years, and I knew you wouldn't want to cruise. So, so I got a triathlon bike. And so, yes, I've definitely gotten faster. And yeah, I'm in that age where you should be declining, and I'm definitely not declining. Definitely not. And neither is Brian.
So, Kate, you've come in first in your age group, but you've also finished, I think, dead last. What's it like, and how do you kind of keep pushing through? I think sometimes when people maybe are at the very, very, very back of the pack, or at, you know, some of the last ones, can you talk, like, what's your experience and you know, how do you keep from just throwing your hands up and saying, I'm not going to make it?
Yeah, I cry. I finish the race.
Oh.
And I get across I get towards the end. And truly, like I say, I'm a little bit of an idiot. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my training's been going so good. And yes, I'm among the last. Usually I'm not the last anymore, but I'm among the last getting out of the water. And biking is my strongest suit. So I get on the bike and it's like, ah, goes, I'm passing people. This is great. And then I start to run and, you know, it's like, wow, today's the day. This is it. Today's the day. I'm going to be really good. I am going to finish this and not be DFL or close to it. And sure enough, I am. Because then I have to start walking and it doesn't matter if it's an Olympic, a half iron, doesn't matter. So then you kind of make this last loop and the party's going on and all the food is there and the band is there and I have to go make another friggin' lap of, you know, say 3 to 6 miles or whatever. And by the time I get back, there's no water left. There's no party. They're taking down that blow up thing that, you know, is the end. And it's like, oh, wow, it's over. And I didn't even get here for the party. And then I cry. Then I just cry.
Aww. What brings you back to do it all over again?
I have no idea. but I just know it's for me. And I know you just keep doing it.
Do you want me to tell you what it is? It's your heart. It's your heart. It really is. And that's the first thing I picked up on with you when we started was it's your heart, it's grit, it's tenacity, it's commitment, it's passion. I could go on and on. And I'm telling you, that is the biggest thing that keeps you moving forward. And that's what's going to get you to that finish line in next October. Okay.
So we're here on a podcast and I'm crying, but that's how it is. Those feelings come back, you know, it's like, I'm so bad, you know, and then you get through it and then you, and then you just go, well, you know what? We'll do it again. And you're just doing it and you just do it again. When I first met Matt, I told him I cried at the end and he said he made one of his hashtags because he always makes hashtags for everything. I don't do hashtags. I don't do hashtags, but he does these hashtags and he put happy tears. He said, we're going to change those to happy tears.
Yeah. Just remember you are 100,000 times better than any person who's not even willing to put their foot on that start line, not even willing to take on those challenges. So yeah. In those moments when you think you're bad, you're comparing yourself to the wrong people.
And that's the funny, weird thing about getting old. It's like all the people that I hang out with in triathlon are a lot younger than me. Mm-hmm. So comparing myself to everybody else, I'm terrible. But then I go out with ladies from my church and they can't even walk across the parking lot, you know, right. And they're just in awe that I rode my bike an hour, much less. They wouldn't get the concept of me pushing power and doing intervals and stuff. It's, you know, so I feel like I'm in two different worlds. I feel like I'm in a world with triathletes that are all stud muffins and I don't fit. And then I'm in this world with old people and I don't fit.
I was say on our team, Kay is actually known as Captain K. So I would say that your paces might be different than some of us, but there's no way I'd ever say you don't fit. I mean, you are glue that holds the team together. And yeah.
This great segue, Kay, into the younger generation that is looking at you right now as Captain K. Can you tell us about your neighborhood girls? Just tugging at my heart every second I see you post about it. It's fantastic.
Well, we've lived in this neighborhood since 1997. My husband here, 1996. And we've had different neighbors, but we are not a close neighborhood. And, you know, so we wave and, you know, but we're not really close. And so I've just been trying to think of ways to try to minister to and get in the lives of neighborhood. And so there's, across the street is a single mom. A couple houses down is another mom who might as well be single. We've had dads in prison. It's, you know, I mean, it's not, so I thought, what could I do? Well, they all see me running. They see me running 4 times a week, thanks to TriDot. And, you know, they'll wave, and everybody knows that Brian and I will often be running. I thought, well, maybe that's something I could do to offer to them. So I went over to the mother's houses and just said, would you like to do the, you know, I can do this for you. And then you guys could have an hour of peace after the kids come home from school. And I think there was a need there that they didn't even know they had. As moms, single moms, one of them, dad is in prison. You know, I mean, it's, so it grew. We have 3 first graders. We have a 5th grader. The 5th grader is morbidly obese. We have a 7th grader and a 9th grader. So 6 girls all together, and they are terrible. I mean, if you think I'm bad, they are really, really bad. They go about 20. I'll try to teach them a concept of fartleks, which they love that word. and I'll go like, okay, we're going to go to that mailbox or that political sign. Boy, I'm glad the political signs are gone. But you know, we're going to go to that blue political sign, and they get there, and then they're, you know, we're talking 100 yards. But it's okay. And I just keep trying to tell them positive things about them and that they are good and beautiful and God made them special and they're just special for who they are and that I never want to hear the word skinny. That we aren't doing this to be skinny. We're doing this to be healthy and they are perfect the way they are. And I feed them healthy snacks and, they always want to keep having more healthy snacks and more and more and more. So we're doing that. And so I wanted to sign them up for this local run that we have at Christmas. And it's a big thing. And usually there's snow on the ground and people dress up like elves and stuff like that. So I had these crazy dreams that we might actually be able to do the 5K, but no. So then I put it down to the 2 mile and now we're going for the 1 mile, but we're doing it and it costs $30 and I knew the moms wouldn't be able to do that. And frankly, I didn't have an extra $180 to do it. So I just put it out on my Facebook page and said, if anybody would like to donate, this would be great. And they donations started flooding in. I had to like 2 days later, say, stop, we got enough. So I've got them all signed up. I had enough money left over that I got them each a flashy blinky light to wear because now it's dark when they get home. And I bought them some t-shirts and some paint and we're going to paint the t-shirts next week. And then I bribed them. I give them 25 cents for every quarter mile. And so after 4 months, they will have earned $10. So we're going to, the dollar store is a little more than half a mile. And so we're going to walk over to the dollar store and they will each be able to spend their $10 that I will give them. And then we're going to run home. And it's just a way I can give. And the moms are now loving it. They're like, they came and told me that school was off an extra day. And wouldn't I love to do that an extra day?
So how many days a week do you run every day?
I just do it the one, except when they came and asked me to do it a second day.
Wow. Okay, you're making me cry now.
Have you noticed a difference in the girls, either behaviors, demeanors, attitudes?
They love it. They love it so much. And Thursday, we had the tiniest like half an inch of snow. But they were delighted to make snowballs and throw them at Miss K. So we're going down the street, and Miss K's getting bombarded with snowballs. Well, kind of snowballs. And it made it so much fun, they didn't even know they were running. You know, we did a mile, and I never heard a single complaint about the running because they got to throw a lot of snowballs at me. We came back and had hot cocoa, and they love it. So they're getting better without even knowing it. But yeah, and they love coming. And so there you go. It's something I can do. I can pour into these girls and love them.
That's awesome, Kay. It's so obvious you got the servant's heart. That's such a great just attribute of you. So real quick, coming up this year, I know you and Brian have a big anniversary coming up this year. Talk about your desire and the ambition to tackle Ironman California in 2023.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be married 50 years in January. Legally. So, you know, it's just like, wow, we've got 7 grandkids, and they've come to the grandkids in Wisconsin have come to watch me do Ironman 70.3 in Madison, and the grandkids that live in Sandpoint, Idaho, came to see me do Coeur d'Alene, and they did Iron Kids. So I'm trying to influence that next generation, skipping my own sons. So I don't know. I was just thinking, like, you know, I'm not getting younger. And in a couple years, am I going to be really sad that I just didn't try? So I thought I should try. It's a big year. It's a 50th anniversary. It's my oldest grandchild will be 17 next year. My youngest will be 7. And will I be sad if I didn't try? So I decided to try it, and I talked it over with my coach. And my coach said, I said, I'm thinking about California because, number one, we can drive there. And so financially, it's easier. Number two, it's flat. And it's not like Coeur d'Alene or Wisconsin where all you do is hills, 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 hills. And I can't remember what number 3 was.
It's downriver swim.
Downriver swim. So those 3 things. I can drive there, downriver swim, and a flat course. And my coach said, yes. My coach said, I think Coeur d'Alene would probably be too hard for you to do right now with all the hills. I've done the 70.3, but so we decided to do it, and
If I recall correctly, I was sitting here eating dinner, and I got a text from Kay that said, "Hey, do you think I could do an Ironman?" And I think if I remember correctly, Kay, I picked the phone up and called you right away and said, "Of course you can. I have no doubt."
I think something like that. Those are the kinds of things you say.
It's because I believe in you.
I know. He keeps believing in me every month. For those of you who don't do CHIDOT, every month we have to do an FTP assessment. And every month he believes in me. He thinks I can do this.
And you do.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. And so to that end, last week I went to what CHIDOT has newly developed, which is called Pool School. And I loved it, and I learned a great deal, and shock to only other people, not to myself, I'm not any faster. So, you know, but there aren't any tears about it. I'm not crying. It's like, well, you know what? It is what it is. But as my coach says, I may not be faster, but I'm probably covering the same distance with a lot less effort. And so I'm working at it. I'm just doing my drills and putting Vaseline on my feet to keep the blisters from coming and from the dumb fins. and I'm working hard, and I'm going to keep working hard. I don't know why.
Yeah.
When is Ironman California?
October. And there are so many loving, amazing, wonderful people from TriDot that are going to come and do it with me.
Yeah, it's going to be a party.
Yeah.
I've heard it. It is. As much as I don't want to do an Ironman after Lake Placid and just in general, I can't help but feel a little bit left out of the Sacramento party next year. And I do have a Sacramento mug because I went the year that it was canceled for the bomb cyclone. So I haven't actually done it. I do still use the mug, but part of me is half tempted. Matt, don't take this as any sort of 23 planning conversation, but feeling like a little bit of FOMO that I'm not going to be at Sacramento in 23 because it's going to be quite the event.
Well, I think you should just at least be there. You can go down. Yeah,
that's true, actually. I can just drive down.
So
true. Yeah.
It is so humbling to me. It is so incredible. Oh, it's so incredibly humbling to me how many people have just said, yeah, we're with you, Grandma. We're with you, old bag. We're coming. We're going to come and do that. And we're behind you. And it's just humbling.
I'm so excited for this for UK. It's going to be so much fun. The next year is going to be a challenge. It's going to have a lot of opportunities ahead of you. You know, and I think the biggest thing you remember is you can't get much done in life if you only work hard on the days that you feel good. And that's something that you bring to the table every day is you keep showing up. I think I just gave another quote. Sorry, I'm only supposed to have one. But, you know, that's another one of my favorites. I thought.
I'm cutting it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. And I just think even in the past, you know, half hour that we've talked with Kay, I think it's obvious she lives with a servant's heart. She shows up every day. That's why it's a joy to coach you and why you're so coachable.
And she cries.
And she cries. But happy tears. We established that on day one. They're only happy tears. I've never told anybody that till just now. That's you just spilled the beans on that hashtag.
Kay, is there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
I would like to just say that anybody can do this. You just have to be willing to not be the best and to accept your limitations. I'm in the old lady thing. So I sometimes get on the podium, but, it's not because I'm fast. And so you just have to be willing to show up as Matt was saying. And I do it. I almost never miss a training, unless there's a conflict, but I do it. I do the training. My dots, if you're in TriDot, you know this word. My dots don't go up. You know, I mean, there's that Minnesota. I'm not a stud, but I'm doing it. And anybody can do it if you're willing. There's a saying that you just need to be consistent and be consistent. Show up and do it. And if you have to walk half the mile and run half the mile, then that's all right. If you're the last one in across the tape, that's all right. It's okay to be last. It's okay to be slow. But you will have only yourself to be sad with if you don't do it, if you don't try. And then the tears will be sad tears and not happy tears.
I've got another quote. It's just sitting here in my head. Yeah. They're just popping out. It's not what you are that is holding you back. It's what you think you are not. Mm. They just come out. I'm sorry.
I have DNF'd in one race out of, I've done so many races, I can't even count them. And I've DNF'd once. And it was at Des Moines 70.3, not this last summer, but the summer before. And it was about mile 7 of the run. And I started having dry heaves and I was just over the edge. It wasn't good. And my grandkids from Wisconsin had driven to be there and stayed in a motel to watch me. And so I was so embarrassed and apologetic that I hadn't finished. And Silas, he's 14 now, so he was probably 13. And he says, Grandma, 95% of Americans don't even walk a mile every day. You have so much to be proud of. You are doing so much more than most Americans. You are doing way more than I could do, Grandma. And you know what? That's true.
He's right.
So you just keep doing it.
Yes, 100%.
Making me cry again. Oh, man. I can't even talk.
I love this
story. It's so influential on so many people. I mean, the last thing that I really want to say real quick is... obviously, as your coach, I'm beyond proud of you. And I think one of the biggest things, as Jillian already mentioned, as with us calling you the captain, I call myself the co-captain. And I mean, here's to you. I'm just right there next to you. But one of the biggest things, she is so influential and so caring and so loving that every Sunday night on our team Facebook page, she shares something called Satisfaction Sunday. And she wants everybody on the team to post about what they are grateful for and satisfied with in life. And I'm not just talking training, in life. What in their life is going well, trying to get to know people as who they are. And just, I know she probably adds them to her prayer list and she thinks about them. And, every time we chat before I go for a race, she always says loves and prayers. And she tells me she'll be praying for me in all parts of my life. And it's obvious how much your faith is part of your life. And just, I appreciate that. I really do.
Oh, I don't want to move on. I feel like we could keep going,
yeah.
But we're pushing that hour. So, Kay, this has been amazing.
Thank you, Kay. It's been very interesting getting to know you just a little bit more, and you've definitely got quite the story and quite the background.
Well, I'm grateful for all of you, and I'm really grateful you're doing this podcast. It is so needed out in the triathlon community for exactly people like me. I'm not ever going to be a stud. I'm not ever going to be the top, even as an old lady, I'm not likely to be on the top of the podium unless it's a really small race. and it's okay. And it's okay. And that's why we need a podcast like this. I'm so excited you're doing it. I really am. And I've listened to the first two and just loved them. And I love what you're doing because it can be discouraging to people when they think, why don't I get better? Why am I not improving? And it's like, it doesn't matter. Just keep doing it. And if you're working full time or if you're retired or if you're whatever, give it what you've got. Show up. Be thankful of all the reasons you can be there. And I'm thankful for your podcast. So yeah. Keep at it, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Oh, thanks, Kay.
Thank you very much.
So I'll say goodbye.
You can stay on while we look out if you want, or you can say
goodbye. You can stay on if you'd like. We're just going to wrap it up. So totally fine. Up to you.
I just don't know how to do it. Oh. Well, goodbye. There you go. I'll figure it out.
No, thank you, Kay, for sharing your story. We really, really appreciate it. And you are one of the reasons we do these podcasts, because we also love hearing everybody's unique story. So thank you for joining us today. So upcoming, I think one of the things we look at sometimes are upcoming races. Good luck to all the racers. I know that we're getting closer to the off season. There's a couple Ironman branded races next weekend, actually. It'll be Ironman Arizona and Ironman Cozumel. And have either of you guys, Matt or Jay, done those races? Or do you know any athletes, any insider tips that you can give that for somebody that might be doing those races?
Personally, I've not done either of those. I do have a couple athletes. I've got two that are racing in Arizona, and I've got one racing in Cozumel. The thing that I've always heard about those races is the temperatures. I think that water in Arizona can be historically pretty cold. So I've heard that can be quite a challenge just because you got such a drastic change in temperatures. But I personally have not raced that one. So I've got three doing Arizona and one at Cozumel. Special story. He was doing Ironman Maryland with me this past past year. Was supposed to be his first Ironman, and had a major mechanical crank sheared off at mile 80-85, and his day was done. What a heartbreaker. I mean, I remember after the race sitting there not really knowing what to say. You had trained, put in all the time, the efforts. It was just burning in his eyes, the passion, the desire to run that red carpet. And we started talking about other opportunities, other races. Obviously, Arizona and Cozumel popped to mind, and Cozumel worked out for his schedule. So he's toeing the line there. Super excited for him. Very cool opportunity.
Nice.
All right, guys. Well, I think it's time for us to wrap up for the day. And I just want to send a reminder and thank all the listeners for listening. We are so grateful for everybody that's listened to our first two, and this is our third podcast. We are looking forward to our next one next week as well. And it was so great getting to hear Kay Grant's journey. You guys can follow her, follow along, and you know, maybe we'll give some updates as the season progresses into next year. And of course, after she finishes Sacramento in late October. I'd like to remind everybody that we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, and you can email us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at triathlonagegroupjourney, and we would absolutely love any comments, any feedback, any questions that you might have. We'd love to be able to address some questions on a future podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.